Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this March 6th, Wednesday, 2024. And tonight, boy, do we have a lot to do. And so our producer tonight is none other than Style. Hey, Style. And tonight we have a special guest with us. Let's go to the legend first. Pastor Joe Larson.
The infamous one, the highly unpaid professional assistant. I'm here ready to go to work.
And now we have the Polish patriot pastor, Pastor Arturo Pawlowski. Hey, Art, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Art. Glad to have you aboard.
Boy, Arturo, you have quite a busy weekend here. I know that you're even packing even as we're talking tonight, but you're going to be speaking at Cleveland and at Bringing America Back to Life at the Embassy Suites this Friday and Saturday. And I will be there, too, with you. And so, and then on Sunday morning, where will you be preaching on Sunday morning?
I will be about half an hour from Cleveland in a church. Let me see if I can find the name. It's New Ascent Church, about half an hour from the main city, and I'm speaking there 10 a.m. in the morning.
All righty. And then Sunday evening, you're going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, the most activist church in Ohio, and you will be there.
Awesome.
You'll be in my pulpit at 5 p.m. Sunday night. So you really have a very, very busy week. And coming up here. So I know that... go ahead.
That's what I love to do. I mean, I'll be on a mission, and God is unleashing his people to preach the truth. And as you know, the truth sets the captives free. It's all about the truth from the very beginning in the Bible. Did God really say? That's what the whole fight is all about. I believe that Christians, we must be repeated over and over again. We must be reminded over and over again about the Word of God, because that's our power. That's the double-edged sword that needs to be unleashed upon the world, that will cut the enemy, the spiritual realm. So I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I just don't want to sit and do nothing. I am on a move. I am on a mission. And I know that God has prepared the hearts that will receive the words and many will be set free.
Well, you've come to the right place for that, because this is the voice of the Christian resistance here. And when you're talking about God's word, the Bible, is there any other source of authority and power and truth that even comes close to God's word, the Bible?
No, of course not. I mean, people come and they go. Like, I quite often, when I teach history, because that's what I do, I do not just teach theology, I love to teach history. Quite often I'll ask the people, where are the Roman empires and Babylonians and the Ottomans? Where are the Hitlers and Stalins and Mao Zedongs? You know, people come and people are gone, and they will have to face the living God. As you know, everyone will stand naked before the judge of judges, as I call him, and we will have to all give an account for the things we said, the things we did, and also the things we were supposed to say, but we chose not to say it or not to do because of all kinds of, you know, 10,000 different excuses. So my point is this, that one day we are going to stand before the giver of life, the giver of law, and ultimately it's what he says stands. It doesn't matter. I remember one day he said to me, even if the whole world goes crazy, even if the whole world denies me, remember this, he said to me, you and me, we are always the majority. So we must stick with the winner. I mean, my God, we are already victorious. The enemy just doesn't know it yet. We have already won on the cross. God has given us the victory, and now we are just seeing with our own eyes the unfolding of the next chapter of the book of Acts, because that's exactly what we are doing. We are writing another chapters in the book of Acts. That's actually the only book that has no ending, because God intended for us to keep writing the next chapters. And I'm very excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. I believe that we have been chosen for such a time as this. We have been waiting all of our lives for what we are about to see. Truly, this is a gathering of the pride of lions coming together, and I'm telling you, hyenas are scared.
You're not kidding about that. I think one of the toughest jobs that we have as pastors and teachers is to try to convince people about the accuracy, the absolute perfect accuracy of God's word, the Bible, how it is the truth. There's no other source of information in existence that can tell you from the very, with complete and total accuracy, from the day of creation. In fact, it actually goes beyond the day of creation to where we're at today and to where it's going to be. What is ahead of us, with complete and total authority and complete and total accuracy, the ability not to have a failure along the way, where you have over 1,800 prophecies, the vast majority have already been fulfilled. Exactly when, exactly where, exactly how God said they would. And yet we know that. I mean, you know that, I know that. But trying to convince the world out there, well, that's a whole different story, isn't it?
Well, there is this famous English saying, you can lead the horse to the water, but if he refuses to drink, he's going to die. I mean, that's the reality. Jesus had the same problems. People have been given a gift, and that's freedom of choice. And you can choose life or you can choose death. It's like the vision I received when God was shaking the fence. People love to sit on the fence, a little bit of the devil, a little bit of God. God bless my business. God bless my house. God bless my family. Keep me healthy and wealthy. But the truth is, you must choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. And people have a hard time with that because, you know, we are very selfish, self-centered individuals, right? Creation, and God is forcing us to make that choice. And we must make that choice, life or death. And that's a hard thing, especially for the Westerners. You know, for us, maybe it's a little bit easier because we grew up in hell. We grew up suffering. When you're suffering, you're more eager to look up for God to help you. when you have plenty, when you have everything your heart desires, you get your freedom, you get your money, you get your vacations, your houses, your cars, it's a little bit more difficult. And that's why God, in the Word of God, says that when you possess the houses you did not build and the vineyards you have not planted, when you possess the land of milk and honey, just do not forget about me. I think that Westerners have forgotten about the one that is giving all those blessings. And I think what we are witnessing right now, God is reminding us, hey, you have forgotten about me, but I have not forgotten about you. Wake up. Wake up. And he's waking us up. The judgment, remember, starts in the house of the Lord. He's judging us as we speak. And it has to be that way because he's purifying us. He's allowing the fire of the Nebuchadnezzars to come to show us who is who in the zoo. But after the judgment, the wrath of God will come on his enemies. And you don't want to be without the covering of the blood of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the blood, the name that is above every other name, the cross, the victory, that when you are on the right side, you have already won. Be excited. Don't, enough of poor me and, you know, whining and complaining. No, we got to walk with tall heads and say, hey, who do you think you are? You're a circumcised Philistine that you should defy the armies of the living God. It's time for the church to take its rightful place. It's time for the Christians to be the head, not the tail. It's time for us to run for offices and be counted in the army, be visible. Enough of this, I call it the submarine Christianity, where you show up on the surface on Sunday, but you live undercover on Monday. Enough of that. I think God wants his church to rise up, and he's doing it. He's doing this as we speak, and that excites me. Because I know where we are heading. We are heading into the biggest Red Sea moment this earth has ever seen. We are heading into a clash of the titans, if you will. And I know who already won. So, I don't have to worry about who is going to win. I already know who won.
Exactly right. And you're exactly right. The problem today, though, is people don't realize America is already under God's judgment. But the vast majority of people are totally oblivious. America needs to repent of her failure to seek God's will. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and they don't go, and they don't seek God's knowledge. America is blood guilty of killing. Do you know, the actual amount of babies that have been killed by abortion is about 160 million. Not just that, but add to that the elderly. A lot of elderlies were killed off during this COVID thing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, death. And so here, and that was the title of the message talking about repentance. America has forgotten her God and she's being turned into hell. That's what it says in Psalm 9:17, that those that forget their God will be turned into hell, all nations. And so repent or perish. And now, sodomy is being taught in the public schools as a preferable lifestyle, And boy, if you read Romans 1, verses 26 to 32, we know what God has said about sodomy. Our children are dying from fentanyl, and our children are dying from suicide. And because of these liberal, ungodly, insane school teachers and those people that are convincing our children, convincing the boys that they're really girls and the girls that are really boys. And so, and with all of this is happening now, America is being invaded by insurgents. The enemy that is orchestrating the invasion is in the White House. The enemy is right in that White House. They're bringing in hundreds, well, actually millions of illegal people. And the idea is for them to try to overthrow this country. And they're being...
It's all done by design. This is the greatest elimination of the middle class ever attempted in the history of mankind. This is... they're creating chaos. There is this famous saying by the Illuminatis, the globalists, whatever you want to call it, the elites, that out of chaos they are... new world order will come. So that's what they're creating, and people must be educated. That's what I'm going to be talking about I'll talk about globalism. I'll talk about what I have seen growing up and learning from my grandparents about Nazism. Because what we are observing right now is the same tactic that was used before during the socialism and communism, during the Nazi era. Nothing is new under the sun, the Bible says, but people need to be educated. They need to know with whom they are dealing with. We're dealing with the same body with different heads. It's a hydra. You chop one head off, another one, another two pop up. So we need to finish them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's why I said so many times that without God, we are already defeated. We don't stand a chance. But when God shows up, they are already defeated. They do not stand a chance. So I'll be sharing about what happened to me, but not from the perspective of, you know, poor me, look what they did to me. No, 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 no. Look what they have done to me. I fought the most powerful people in my country, and I prevailed, and I stood tall, and God gave me victory. That's the message that we need to send to our churches right now, the message of victory, the message of strength and the power. God wants his church to be powerful. God wants to have his church filled with signs and wonders. And only the people that have been tested, willing to go to the fire, you know, having a testimony within that purification process, will be elevated to the position of a witness, a global witness. And people must step in. Instead of running away from the testing, people should be running towards the testing. So I want to encourage people to come and listen. Because we used to have a saying in a business realm, the information is more valuable than money. Because when you have the right information, making money is easy. It's an easy process if you know how to do it, where to invest. And the same with the kingdom of God. That's why God says the wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than everything else. Knowledge, the information, the truth that will set the captives free. So if you are in Ohio area, Cleveland, come to the conference Friday and Saturday. And of course, if you are willing to come to the church Sunday morning, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. as well. So I'll have to go because I'm still packing and I got an early start tomorrow, 4 a.m. And I'll see you Friday.
I'll be looking for you Friday. All right. God bless, my friend. Thanks for being here tonight.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. He's going to be, again, he'll be at the Embassy Suites in Independence. I'll be there with him this coming Friday. The Bringing America Back to Life conference. So if you want to find, I think tomorrow's the last day you might be able to sign up and get tickets. Again, so you better do it. It's because it starts at 8 a.m. and goes to 9 p.m. BringingAmericaBackToLife.org, Embassy Suites, there, Friday and Saturday in Independence. All righty. Well, gee, Joe, we don't really have much time to do the Bible study tonight, so you know what? That we'll just consider that being our Bible study. What do you think?
But, yeah, there was a lot of preaching going on, I'd say, and it just as at the end there, I was just silently praying for traveling mercies for Art. I figured Art was safe. I can pronounce that without messing up, that he has the safe mercies and gets there. There is a one of those people that God put to the test, and he stood up to the test and was victorious. That, you know, belief is the answer. You've got to believe. If you have faith and you really believe what God has said, he said you can do, all things are possible. You can do all things through Christ the truth that dwells in you. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in us, and too many people are afraid to trust in it, release it, and go out there and run to the battle. They are afraid to put their faith and trust in him.
Well, he did, you know, it's when he said that he stood against the most powerful people in his country, and that Trudeau himself was after him. And, you know, he told me that he didn't know what to expect when he goes back to Canada. The last time he called and he asked his lawyers, he said, am I safe? And they told him, well, according to the police, said they're not going to arrest you, that they're not going to charge you, so come on back. So
I would not be very trusting personally. They think he could be lied to very easily.
Well, he was. When he went back, he got arrested right away.
That's what I thought, yeah. In fact,
this radio program that we're on right now is being heard in Canada. For a large part of Canada, here's this radio program. And that's where we get a good part of our support is from Canada.
Right, because they don't have the freedom to preach the gospel there. You and I can preach it here, but it's not. We wouldn't be allowed in Canada. They'd take us off the air.
And they have names and lists of people that if they come in there and they look at your passport. Used to be we didn't need a passport. We could just drive across the border. But now, and I've been warned that not to go there because if they see my name because of this radio program, I could be arrested and charged with who knows what, right?
Well, we've been doing a lot of preaching. The radio program reaches up to quite a few areas of Canada, so we've broken a lot of Canadian laws.
You're not kidding about that.
Quite a few. I don't even want to count it, but I know we've broken quite a few.
I got to do this very quickly. Every now and then, you'll go to a business, and they'll give you exceptional service. They go out of their way to really give you, and they show some good Christian love. And, you know, Middlefield Sign in Middlefield, Ohio, Jacob Lashitz is the fellow that runs that. Jacob's actually a young guy. His dad was a very good friend of mine, and he went home to be with the Lord at a fairly young age. But if you want to get indoor, outdoor signs, vehicle decals, banners or magnets, wide format printing, yard signs, stickers, this not only is his price so much cheaper than most places, they give you a really, well, you get a very good deal for your money. And I know we do a lot of business with him. And so, folks, if you're looking out here in Northeast Ohio for a good place, if you have signs made, and I mean like a lot of times we have a lot of our pro-life signs made, especially the bumper stickers, the magnetic ones, I would go to Middlefield Sign. And or you could just call there at 440-632-0708. That's Middlefield Sign. If you really want to get a good deal, Christian-owned and operated, 440-632-0708. And make sure you tell them that you heard about them here on this radio program. Tell them that you're listening to me. And who knows, he might even give you a bigger discount. So, alrighty, with that, we're up against a hard break. Let's do it and come back and let's get into it. We'll be right back with more.
Become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take city schoolyards, when bullets
us and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, who take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Amen to that. We've got to take America back. Hey, Joe, you know, Sunday Trump got out the vote caravan, rolled through liberal Massachusetts ahead of Super Tuesday, and here we I'm showing you their pictures of the guys coming in on their motorcycles. The caravan set off from the historic USS Constitution Museum at approximately 10:45 a.m., embarking on a journey that symbolized the collective determination to amplify the voices of American voters. As the procession made its way through the streets of Boston, adorned with patriotic banners and flags, it garnered attention and enthusiasm from bystanders along the route. Arriving at Castle Island around noon, the participants were greeted with an atmosphere charged with excitement and anticipation before the speakers took the stage. The atmosphere brimmed with patriotic fervor as the assembled crowd united in a stirring rendition of the national anthem. With hands over their hearts and voices raised in harmony, participants honored the symbol of their shared identity and allegiance to the United States of America. Following this solemn tribute, the crowd joined together in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, reaffirming their commitment to the principles of liberty, justice, and democracy. The moment of collective reverence underscored the deep-seated patriotism and the unity of purpose that infused the Trump America First Get Out the Vote caravan in Boston, Massachusetts. There you go. Well, and you know, I was there. I spoke some years ago. It's probably been 10, 12 years ago since I went there. I spoke at Lexington on the Green, and we did a reenactment of the shot fired around the world there. And it was interesting, Joe, because up close around us gathered a group of maybe 200 people, and but way across on the sidewalks, you know, because this is a good large area, I mean a large group of people, probably 1,000 or so spectators stood to watch. But those people, when they gathered around, they told me, they said, "Pastor, we hear you preaching against communism, but believe me, we know what communism here. We've been living in communism here in Boston for years." So there you go. What do you think about all that?
Now nationwide.
Yep. And
this kind of goes along with it. You've been talking many times about there in Ohio that Democrats running as Republicans, you know.
The Rhino 22 Blue. They call it, we call it.
Rhino 22 Blue. Big story out, Fox News, Joshua Nelson. Teachers unions have quietly been spending millions on GOP primaries in 32 states. We know that the NEA, the National Education Association, and the American Federation of Teachers, AFT, you know, donate huge amounts of money to the Democrat Party. We all know that. But what they've done is they have been donating money in the primaries, not the general election, but trying to have rhinos win, rhino Republicans win in the primary. And it's always they donate money to those who are anti-homeschool or charter school, anything other than the union-controlled public full system. And these donations now run into they're trying to track down the amount of money, but they have been spending millions of dollars, and they're doing it. Open Secrets brought this out. And, you know, the their political action committees donated $4 million just to the Democrat Party. So now they're sneaking in all this back door. This is how they're working. They support the rhinos in the primaries. And they've been doing it especially in states like Alabama, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas. And the Heritage Centers come out saying, you know, the unions are terrified that the parents are clamoring for more education choice, and the teachers' unions are doing everything they can to stop it. So, you know, we do things. Isn't that kind of like a lie by omission when you sneak and do supporting like that without acknowledging? Isn't it kind of like a lie by omission?
Yeah, well, you know, Joe,
Democrats are good at that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, well, we've been, since 2016, it wasn't that bad here in Ohio, but as we got into 2019, remember, we were warning people over and over. Right in my own county, the so-called leadership of the Republican Party was literally asking Democrats to register as Republicans, and they were doing that. And we had some of the conservative Republicans were beaten out by Rhino Democrats only because our Rhino Republicans, the people did not bother to vet. They did not bother to find out. They looked behind the name, and they went by what that name that they heard the most and with the yard signs. But they didn't know that these people that were they were electing had been running before that. Had been elected as Democrats for years. And right now, that's happening right now in our county out here right today. And this is what we're trying to get to point out to people.
Well, that's why I wanted to do that story, because they're doing it. They're going to be doing more and more of it because they're seeing, like the rest of the nation, MAGA group is getting stronger. And they say now there are more Latinos that are going to vote for Trump than will vote for Biden. This is something that's not been heard of. He's winning, Trump's winning the Latino vote, and a lot of the Dems are very, very frightened now of what's happening with this MAGA movement. So there's going to be more and more of this in any of the primaries going on, and I have a feeling they'll probably even be starting to spend money anywhere they can think of to stop this MAGA movement. And that's one of the things. School choice is one of the biggies.
Well, they're going to try to use lawfare.
Right, well, they're using that, yeah, big time.
They've been doing that with Trump, but they're trying to do that, too, with conservative politicians.
Any and conservative attorney, judge, in fact, who was it, that one big law firm, I'll think of the name in a minute, said basically attorneys will not back Trump. They were told by their partners, by the big law firms, do not go there, do not work for Trump, do not support any Trump people, or you won't be working for this firm. The American Bar Association is very liberal, and they are turning on any attorney. They are taking them to court for infractions, anything they can think of. So they're using intimidation to prevent lawyers from defending not only Trump, but Trump supporters. They're going after it. So this lawfare is really turning into a big, big, ugly, I don't think even in communist countries this kind of thing happens, because the legal system is all controlled by the government. So we've got this horrible lack of honesty, honor, integrity in our legal profession in America. It is really a sad state of affairs.
Not only that, but, you know, what you have, first of all, the so-called Justice Department has over 1,900 lawyers. And like I told you before, I've called over there and talked to them and had a long conversation, and they could not find one Christian working there at all, someone who would admit to being a Christian, not one. Now, on top of that, you have to understand, remember, I taught courses on how to identify Satanism some years ago, and here I was with Tom Wedge, in fact, who ran the most elite police department in the country, were investigating only satanic crimes. And it was very clear that the one office that Satanists covet more than any other office is prosecutors, whether they're county prosecutors, city prosecutors, state prosecutors. That's the one office, because the prosecutors are the one who decide how the case will be tried, if it'll be tried
right,
as a satanic.
Or tried at all. Yep.
And guess what? Guess what profession more than any other become judges?
Prosecutors.
Yep, absolutely.
Paid for by George Soros.
Right. And I've gone up against a couple of those prosecutors who were hardcore Satanists. And so there you go. And Soros knows them. Soros bought them and paid for them. You know,
yeah, lots
stock and barrel.
Well, we got some breaking news. The House late today passed a $460 billion package to fund six government agencies just about, 3 days now before the government shutdown.
We didn't see that coming. There was no cost, no talk about that I saw this week.
No mentions. The bill passed 339 to 85. With 83 Republicans voting no, and all but two Democrats voting for it. So automatically you know something's wrong.
Very wrong.
What's very wrong? The spending package did not include
the border.
New border security restrictions that the Freedom Caucus and conservative Republicans wanted. Johnson gave in. This is a 1,000-plus page spending for the first six agencies of government. We're going to do another one here March 22nd, I believe, is going to be the rest of it. Yeah, the other deadline, March 22nd, for the six other government agencies. But here's the thing. You know, the Freedom Caucus mentioned they were all decrying $12 billion. And 605 pages of earmarks. Here we are, folks. We are gaining $1 trillion of debt, federal government. $1 trillion of debt every 3 months. So what did our elected officials do? They passed 605 pages out of this 1,000-page spending packet with over $12 billion of earmarks. That, in other words, pork. Take home, do things that aren't needed, aren't necessary. We're spending money we don't have. Think about that. $1 trillion in debt in 3 months. That's $4 trillion in the next year, and they're loading up these bills with earmarks. It's time you got mad. They are your great-great-great-grandchildren aren't going to be able to pay this off if the country lives that long. Years ago, we told you about this couple. All of a sudden, I have a senior moment. That wrote a bill. Anyway, the idea of how you have a revolution, you totally break down the system. You overload the system until it collapses.
Oh, you're talking about Cloward and Piven.
Cloward and Piven, right. Cloward, Piven. I had it all day in my head, and I just couldn't say it. Thank you. They said basically you overload the welfare system, you overload where the city government, and that's what we've done. We've got all these millions and millions and millions of illegals in this country. We are broke. We've got this huge welfare system. We're giving all these illegals money. We're giving them housing. We're giving them food. We're giving them medical care. We're giving them education with money we do not have. We're giving money to the war in Ukraine that we do not have. We're deleting our weapons supplies to give them weapons that we can't replenish right now because there's no money, or we don't have the material, we don't have the steel, we don't have the minerals, we don't have the raw materials to replenish. And here we are with this pork. It's like, Pastor, you remember playing that game, pick up sticks, or where you pile the sticks and you add on, and if
yeah.
you, or building blocks, you add one block too many and the whole thing collapses?
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of that. I guess it was not sticks, it was little building blocks, and you keep building and building, and finally one block too many and the whole thing crumbles. That's what they're doing. They are putting more and more and more on our economic engine. And one of these days, the engine's going to sputter, and like your car engine, if you overheat it, overwork it, at some point, it's going to stop working.
Don't worry, Joe. Don't worry. The elite right now are working bankers on a program that would be able, where they would be able, if there's a failure in the banks and that they would be able to confiscate your 401c. They would, and that they would be able to basically take your property, take your home, whatever, as payment. And so, so they're working on this right now. It's a program that they're setting up to be able to, remember, to totally eliminate the middle class, just have the 2% that are filthy wealthy and the rest of us.
Speaking of banks, I don't know if you heard, but there's a big regional bank that was halted on the stock exchange today. Long Island lender New York Community Bancorp was halted on the New York Stock Exchange after its share tumbled more than 40%. There are several other banks that they're watching very closely now on the verge of collapse. The struggling New York Community Bancorp announced a $1 billion capital raise in a leadership shakeup today, headlined by the former Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin. We've got other banks I've been watching that are shaky right now. They're worried another bank collapse. Why? Well, the banks lend money for a lot of these commercial buildings. We have 40 to 50% of a lot of the major commercial buildings are unoccupied or have very low occupancy. They can't make enough money to make the payments. And with the high interest rates, nobody can afford to borrow to pay. So there's going to be a lot of these commercial real estate deals where the people making payments are just going to walk away and turn it over to the bank. And if they're unoccupied, the bank's not going to be able to resell them. We're kind of looking at some really stupid, bad things getting ready to happen, America. And it's time you out there wake up, start paying attention, and realize they're doing some of the dumbest things possible to destroy the country. If I were trying to ruin America, I couldn't think of a better way to do it than what they're doing right now, Pastor.
Well, here's one. Lawmakers in Oregon backpedaled, passing a bill Friday to recriminalize the possession of small amounts of drugs that were decriminalized. Measure 110 ended criminal penalties for 2020 for the possession of small amounts of drugs while supposedly extending access to addiction. Well, those drugs actually can either even included fentanyl. And guess what happened, Joe? You won't believe this. The death rates, the overdose death rates, immediately increased by 41.5%.
Yeah.
And so they figured maybe with all of those people that have died, the young people that have died, that maybe they should make it illegal again so maybe so many people wouldn't die again. So roughly 58,000 fentanyl pills and 16 pounds of fentanyl powder were seized while processing this evidence, you know, while they were debating this bill, okay?
Well, and you know, they think we're overpopulated. I thought they'd be happy that so many people were dying of fentanyl that they would, okay, we're, you know, getting rid of this excess population. But I think what happened was drawing too much attention politically. So they had to do something because, oops, making us look too bad, and we could maybe lose our control over the city over this, so maybe we better do something.
But here's something they didn't realize. That fentanyl will kill the Democratic Communists, you know, the children of those that are Democratic Communists. That fentanyl will kill their children, and it has killed their children. Actually, even more of their children than others. So what happens, remember, you're supposed to have a two-tier system in here, a justice system. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. Only maybe Christians or non-Democrats, Republicans, were supposed to die.
Right, but the Christians, for the most part, aren't using the drugs. We're not doing the designer drugs and all this different stuff like the liberals are, and so there are a lot fewer of the Christians dying of drug overdoses or are addicted.
Absolutely. Well,
I guess they didn't think about that, did they?
Meet the experienced Democrat operative the Biden regime placed in Fannie Willis's office to target President Trump. Operative is reportedly the brainchild behind the whole collusion. So the Biden regime's collusion with corrupt Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis runs even deeper than believed. Remember, this is lawfare. President Trump just challenged last week. He challenged Biden. Why don't you just try to beat me fair and square instead of using lawfare to do it, weaponizing. So, of course, Biden would lie and lie and lie and lie, okay?
Well, he has his entire career, so why would he change now? I mean, come on, you know.
Yep. And here, so Breitbart News uncovered explosive information that regime planted the operative inside Willis' office to target President Trump. Sources told Breitbart News that regime planted the operative presents a strong argument that they have interfered with the 2024 presidential election. Well, I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
Breitbart reports that the operative question is Jeff DeSantis. Jeff DeSantis, who serves as the county's deputy district attorney, there you go, and has far more extensive professional experience than your usual county employee.
Well, we know that Ashley Merchant, that defense lawyer there, she was testifying today against Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. And in one of her more explosive testimonies, she said that Willis met with Vice President Kamala Harris February 28th of 23 while she was on a trip to Washington. And she had the White House records and said Atlanta Democratic Mayor Andre Dickens was also there. And the meeting raised questions about whether Trump prosecution, and the Merchant said she couldn't find any evidence what they talked about. But why would a Fulton County little district attorney end up having a meeting with the Vice President of the United States? It's rather unusual, not something that happens. Oh, except in this administration, right?
Absolutely. Corrupt to the core. I mean,
and then,
absolutely.
Of course, we know Nathan Wade, then after he was hired, he went twice and had meetings at the White House. No corruption there, no collusion whatsoever, right?
Yep. And besides that, he was what? He was actually, was he not, what kind of a lawyer was he? He was not
He'd never done this kind of work that he was hired to do. It wasn't his forte. I can't remember what he did, but it wasn't this, what do they call it? Oh.
And was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And twice as much as the other attorneys in the office. And she never went and got permission from the state. Fannie didn't get permission to hire outside counsel, which she's required to by law. She just decided to do it on her own and hired him. And I'm trying to think what his... but anyway, he'd never handled a case like this, so he was not qualified to be hired, especially at that high salary.
And you know what Fannie said when she took over, when Soros put her in that office there, she had told the staff that she would not tolerate any affairs between any of the staff members in there, having any kind of an affairs. Here, how about that? That was
Well,
Fannie.
Yeah, she wanted to pick and choose for herself. She didn't want any competition.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. I got one quickie before the break.
You only got about 2 minutes.
All right. A news reporter, his name is J.M. Phelps, a contributor for Epoch Times and a couple other places, World News Daily. He went around asking members of the military all through different branches, you know, could America win a major war today? And basically, the answer, after talking to all these people, like the threat with China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, they all said no. Not one of the people he talked to were very confident we could win a war against a foreign adversary. There's a good chance we could win, some said, but it would come at a very, very great cost. 10 to 15 years ago, we could have won any war in the world, but nobody's feeling like that now. And it's all because, basically, a long story short, the Army's focus is now on DEI and their policies on DEI and LGBTQ agendas are why everybody is there. They're gone full bore, the people said, on this gender fluidity. The military is more interested in hiring and promoting people with behavioral health issues. Wokeness has gone too far, and about less than half, 37% of the survey's participants agreed that, you know.
Joe, you've heard soldiers call in here, these young guys, and say, look, if you're a white male soldier, do not go into the military. Do not join, because you will be discriminated against. And,
you won't get promoted. You won't, get the education. Yeah, you'll be on the bottom of the pile.
And they can't understand why they can't get any white male soldiers to join.
Yeah,
white
males.
Oh,
that's
all
what
right.
They say.
We're coming up to a break. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit from President Trump. I'll tell you about that right after this. So don't go away. More to come. A lot more to come. Here's a countdown right now. One.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.